أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
سورة 56 الواقعة Title The opening word of the surah, Al-Waqi'a, forms this surah's title, Period of Revelation. Abdullah ibn Abbas is on record stating that the surahs were received in the following order, Taha, Al-Waqi'a, and
Ash-Shu'ara,
Suyuti al-Itqan. Ikrama endorses the same order, Bihaqi, Dalail al-Nabuwa. The above is borne out also by the incident related to Umar's acceptance of Islam, as described by Ibn Hisham on the authority of Ibn Ishaq. When Umar entered his sister's house, Surah Taha was being recited there. On hearing his footsteps, his sister and her husband hid the pages containing the surah. Umar first thrashed his brother-in-law, and when his sister tried to intervene, he hit her so hard that she received a serious injury. On seeing the blood flowing profusely from her head, he relented and asked them to show him the scripture which they had kept aside. He wanted to see its contents. His sister told him, "As a polytheist, you are impure. Only the pure may touch it." Umar took a bath and then studied it. This shows that Surah Al-Waqi'a had been revealed by then, for the directive about touching the Quran in a state of purity features in this particular surah. We know for certain that Umar embraced Islam in the fifth year of the Prophet's mission, which further helps to date this incident. Subject matter and themes. This surah removes the doubts of the unbelieving Meccans about the hereafter, the Quran, and monotheism. For them, the doctrine of the last day was most incredible. It was unimaginable for them that the present order of the universe would collapse altogether one day and that the dead would be brought back to life. Their accountability, the admission of the pious to the gardens of paradise, and the hurling of the evil ones into hell were concepts beyond their comprehension. For them, it all seemed like a flight of fancy that would never come true. In this surah, they are told that when this great event happens, no liar will be able to deny it, nor will anyone be able to defer or stop the event. On the Day of Judgment, humankind would be divided into three groups. 1. Those who were the first to believe, 2. The pious, and 3. The unbelievers who had rejected the doctrine of the hereafter and persisted in their unbelief, in polytheism, and major sins until their last breath. Verses 7 to 56 of this surah graphically describe the rewards and consequences awaiting each of these three groups. Verses 57 to 74 contain a series of arguments adduced one after another that vindicate the truth of these basic Islamic doctrines. The unbelievers rejected out of hand the doctrines of monotheism in the hereafter. These arguments draw man's attention to his own self, his food and drink, and the fire on which he cooks his food. Man is asked to reflect on how he can dare claim self-sufficiency or rebel against Allah when he is created and sustained by Allah. How can he think of serving anyone other than his Lord? How can he suppose that Allah, who created him in the first place, would be unable to recreate him? Verses 75 to 82 allay misperceptions about the Quran. The unbelievers are told that they have received a great blessing, the Quran, yet they deny it. Far from being guided by it, they disregard it altogether. To assert the truth of the Quran, the surah presses home the amazing point that the Quran has a perfect structure, similar to the one found in the stars and planets of this universe. This proves that both the Quran and the universe have been brought into being by the same Creator. The unbelievers are also told that the Quran is inscribed in a heavenly tablet that is inaccessible to creatures. They mistakenly think that devils bring it to the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. However, its transmission from the heavenly tablet to the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, is managed by angels alone. No one else has any role in its sending down. Man is finally warned that notwithstanding all of his arrogance and false sense of power, truth will dawn upon him at his death. But he will be totally helpless in those last moments. He will not be able to save his own parents and children, nor rescue his leaders and mentors. As they die, all human beings only watch helplessly. There is no power other than Allah. If man is all-powerful, why does man not bring the dying one back to life? The same utter helplessness on man's part will mark his accountability before Allah and his reward and punishment. Every dying person will meet his end, regardless of his faith or unbelief. If one is devout, he will have a happy end. However, unbelievers will meet the end of the wicked.